was created for was to worship God and be in communication with Him. That's number one. You have to love God more than anything else. I was sharing that Friday night. He's number one. Number one in your life. And sometimes we wait around and say, well, I'm going to see what kind of purpose God has for me. Go back to the garden. That one purpose He had for you is communication with Him. That's the greatest purpose you have. That God want to be in communion with you. That's why He breathed His Spirit into us. And then we lost that Spirit when mankind sinned. But through Christ Jesus, that Spirit has come back into us. That's our connection. That's like a phone line from us to the Lord now. And through Christ, He brought so much stuff to us. Was communications that He wants. And then He moves. I mean, that mighty drop of the Spirit this morning came into this house. I mean, we probably even before it started. But again, I'm in a teaching mood, okay? Understand. He opened up the heavens to you this morning. Open them up to you. For my voice, He said, come. Come down. Jump in the pool of Bethesda. Pour your heart out to me. What is it that you need today? So I asked a couple of things. Is everyone in here healed? Is everyone in perfect health? If not, why weren't we down here? You have no one in your life that you're praying for? You have no kid you're interceding for? Hey, come on down here. See, folks, I know we get to places and say, I'm not going down. Or Satan will give you every reason well not to go down. You know, God even said, drag your chair down here. Amen? And I don't know how else to, I don't know whether I don't preach enough on faith. I don't preach enough on healing. I don't share enough about the pool of Bethesda where, man, the angel of the Lord would come down. Whoever was sick, they lay outside the pool. And they'd actually, first one in and got healed. And Jesus, you know, He healed the man there. The guy was there on the mat, been there for 38 years, 40 years. Laying there. And Jesus walked up and He never got healed. Why? Because He didn't get off his mat. The minute the water was stirring, the stirring of the healing was in the pool of Bethesda, He couldn't make it there in time. He had no one to carry Him in, you know. He had all these excuses. He gave Jesus, hey, you know, what's going on? Well, no one would carry Him in. Well, I would say probably, if He truly wanted healed, He would have had Himself laid there out on the edge, you know. Just hold me up a minute, that way I can flop a minute. If he truly wanted, He would do whatever He wanted. But He gets in a habit, I believe. We get in a habit of being in the condition that we're in. You know, and say, oh, I don't really want to go down there because, you know, I'll just sit back here. And that's fine. You can do that. But man, when the Father of Heaven opens, like, come on, bring. What do you need? You know, let them speak to you. You know, and I was up here. I know we got quite a few people. We got Edie. She's in the hospital. I was interceding for her. John Kimberly, you know, he had another spot come back in his lung. I was going through my head, Lord, who want me to pray for? Because, man, if I'm in good shape today, it's got to be somebody else that you come here for, knocked on the door, you know. And, I mean, we want to see a mighty move of God. But we got to move first, man. We got to look at this opportunity and say, oh, I'm not sure what the preacher's talking about, but I'm going down. You know, trust the Word of God. Trust in Him, because we want to see great victories. We want to see great things take place for God's glory. You know, everything's for God's glory. He heals your body, it's for His glory, you know. I don't know. Anybody got questions this morning about healing? You got any questions about when I turn around and say, hey, man, God's presence here at the altar, come down. What went through your mind? You was to get closer to God, okay. Anybody want to share anything negative? Like, again, no one's judging anybody. I want to learn. What areas do we need to teach in order to get a spontaneous... Okay. I'm just trying to help you guys somehow. I mean, who has faith in the Lord? Okay, that's a good start. Okay. So if you have faith in the Lord, how many people have faith in your pastor? That's a good start. If you don't have faith in me, you're in the wrong place. And I don't condemn you for that. If you don't have faith in what I preach and what I share, how we lead things, you'll find a place that you can't, because yeah, faith has got to grow. So if you have faith in the Lord and that He speaks through me, I mean, He uses us, and like, help me out. What stopped you from coming down? I'm just trying to learn. Teach me this morning. so we just start worshiping, and as we worship Him, man, that burden, that depression, it lifts from us. Oh man, yeah. I mean, put it this way. I'm a preacher. I don't have any money. If I stood here today and folks, I bought my wallet at the church this morning. Woohoo! I tell you, $100 bill for whoever comes down the altar today. Some of you got to get stampeded. Because you know that's very strange for a preacher to offer that, right? And you know that offering ain't going to be that very, very long, right? So I better get down there first, okay? If you sat back here and said, well, I know what he said, but I'm going to sit back here. He'll bring me my $100. And that wasn't it. And folks, we do the same thing when God is in there. Come. Come. Well, yeah, but I'm on the front row. Here's the altar. You know, He offered it to you. I'm just teaching, you know. Don't get mad at me. I'm just showing you. He opened the heavenly up today. And my question to you, why? Why would those... What stop you from coming down? I just want to learn myself. I really want to do. I want to know what areas maybe I need to teach more. I don't know, but man... May awesome presence of God this morning. Amen. Every day that we have is to bring the Father glory. Amen? You remember that part of it. And don't Satan try to wear you down and try to give up. Don't let circumstances break you down. Grab that word and speak it out. Again, that's why it's so awesome this when you open your Bible up and you study. That's why it's so awesome for Bible study. Come in, yes. We come and pray for one another. We intercede for one another. Because it's going to get tougher and tougher. But I'm telling you what, with God working in our life and allowing Him to work through us, man, He is going to be so glorified. But again, go back to what I made a comment just a minute ago. I'm not death and doom, but it appears probably in a couple more weeks it's going to try to shut down the nation again. They're going to try to shut down the churches. They're going to try to mask you up again. It's all about control. It's all about the globalness, that one world government. Okay, they're not giving up. This new virus out there now. I mean, the last thing I read on the new virus is that it comes. It's a variant, I think they call it. It shows up. They can't figure out get an antidote for it because it doesn't bring any symptoms to you. And it disappears before you have time to figure out what it was. So you got to wear a mask. I'm not making stuff up, guys. They are trying to shut people down. They want that control. The evil is taking place in some of our leaders right now. If you see it, they are really starting to manifest themselves, their demonic appearances, okay? So keep your faith in the Lord. Here at SCA, I'll never shut down again. I'll never have the door shut. You do as the Lord leads you. I won't wear a mask. I don't need to. I'm under the blood of Jesus. But it's... that's just what they're trying to go for. You know, 2 weeks from now, we have the big conference with Mike Lindell. He's bringing out all the lies of the government. So you know they're going to be trying to shut it down also. So there's a lot of things going on. But again, it shows us the times that we're living in that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. Okay? I'm gonna plow there for a minute. You guys all right? Okay. All right. If you get your Bible, let's go to Matthew 24 for a second. Matthew 24, we're going to share with you today. And in verse 1 it says, now Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when His disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to Him. And He said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming? And at the end of the age. The age He's talking about is the church age. Okay? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in My name, saying, I am the Christ. And you will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of My name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, when we read that, how many people can see the relevance in the times we're living in compared to Matthew 24? Okay? The signs that Jesus is giving us is the signs of our return. Think of this. When these signs are taking place, that's how close it is for us to come back from heaven. When we say it was the return of Jesus, okay. Who comes back with Jesus when he comes to rule and reign? The saints who are in heaven. Think of that. Now, we look at the times that we're in right now and think, wow, it's playing out right now. It's, you know, but if you return to Revelation chapter 4 for a minute, chapter 4, verse 1 in Revelation. The first three chapters in Revelation is talking about the church age, the seven different dispensations of the church. At this point, John is on the island of Patmos, being held there, because remember he couldn't die in the boil of oil, so they put him on the island. And the angel of the Lord came to him and gave him the book of Revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So the first three chapters, he's telling everything that the church has been doing, what Jesus likes about the church, where they're falling short at. He speaks about, hey, I wish you was hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. And so what he was talking about there was, either on fire for me, I'd rather have you be cold. Cold means you don't believe in me, but at least you're not misleading people. But for us who are lukewarm, one day we're for Jesus, the next day we're not, one day we are. He wants us a total commitment, okay? And that's why it's so great to be in the Word of God to grow your faith. Now, we all have ups and down days. Don't get me wrong on that. Lukewarm is, you know what the Scripture says, but you go against it anyway. A lukewarm Christian is only a Christian by name. They're not a follower of Jesus. Okay? If one day we're on fire for the Lord, the next day we say, oh, I know, I ain't supposed to do this, we go back and do it again. We keep doing that. The Spirit of God should be screaming at you inside, amen? Not saying you won't step back in your old ways once in a while. And when you do that, you know you're still under the blood. I was sharing Friday night, and the key word, I was talking about some of the sins, lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping, all that kind of stuff. And the key word there was, even aggravation, screaming, you know, outbursts of anger. And the key word that was, and those who practice such things. So if you're practicing, you get worse, and get mad. If you're practicing more, you gossip more. Or whatever it might be, okay, God said, okay, those will not see the kingdom of God. But if you ever open your mouth up, which you never had, hey, praise God. Amen? You're covered under the blood. That's what's so awesome about your faith in Jesus. When you put your faith in Christ, you're headed to heaven. Okay? You have a new spirit, you're headed that way, and you're still living in your old body. And when you sin, you're still covered by the blood. It's like, if I can put it maybe this way, Jesus walks around with the same credit card. And when you come to get born again, he uses that card for you. When you sin, here, Dad, put it on here. Here, Dad, put it on it. It's covered. It's already paid for. The last thing we want to do is abuse that privilege, okay? But the thing of it is, when we do sin, we're born again. That's why Satan hates you. He despises you because he tries to trick you up. Now, he can get to the point where you can denounce Jesus and walk away from him. But I'm telling you what, too many of you out there get down on yourself too much because you're trying to be perfect. Amen? We want to be like Jesus, right? But there's only one perfect man ever walked upon this earth, and they crucified him. Understand that. Because he was perfect, and it's totally love. Totally love. But yes, when we fall in the cardinal, we sin. We are still under the blood. You know, we feel terrible about it. In a way, the same way, like, if I make my wife angry or do something that she doesn't like, oh, man, I'm sorry. She doesn't divorce me and remarry me the next day. No, she's stuck with me. And Jesus is, I won't say he's stuck with us because he died for us. He loves us, okay? So just follow him, stay in his word, and just let him mold you in his image. But man, you're still, you got a new spirit operating in an old vessel, okay? And sometimes the old vessel is going to break down, you know? And so don't get down on yourself so hard. But just sell out to Jesus like you never have before. Sell out to him. But Revelation 4.1, it says, after this, after what? After the first three chapters, after the angel of the Lord told John what was going to take place with the church. He said, now after that I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as if it was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things that must take place. At that moment, the church is removed. At that moment, the bride of Christ, we call it the rapture, takes place. We're out of here. Now, the next two chapters won't tell you what we'll be doing in heaven. And I'll discuss that probably later on. But chapter 6 in Revelations, I'm just going to touch base on these today. I won't go real deep in them today. I'm just going to talk about the seals in heaven. And John wrote down, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the voice of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come, come and see. Verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, when you read that, the first thing you think of is Jesus, right? But it's not Jesus. It is the Antichrist raised into power. He has a bow, but no arrows. I think in chapter 19 of Revelations, let me go there a second. See, Satan's always a counterfeiter. Remember that. And a lot of times people read that, they ask Christ coming. He's coming back two or three different times. Chapter 19 is where I want to go. And verse 11, I'll share this. It's going to sound very similar to what I just read you. First part of it. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and his righteousness he does judge and make war. That is Jesus. That's him preparing to come back. Okay? That's where we come back with him. 4.1. We're in heaven, followers of Christ. We've already got the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to get our rewards, our crowns, the things we've done for the Lord. Awesome time. Awesome time. And then the rest of this book talks about the wrath of God, the things that's coming upon the earth. But here's in verse 12, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with white vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, that's us guys, the armies who were in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes forth a sword, that which is shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the furious wrath of Almighty God. And he has his on his vesture, on his vest, and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here Satan is. He is coming forth on a white horse, trying to deceive the nations. Now what's particularly interesting here is, on the Jewish part, the minute church is removed, it's now the time for the Jews. There's 144,000 born-again Jews to be sealed. They cannot be murdered. Witnessing to them. And they know the scripture. They know about the white horse. They know parts. Okay? He's coming back to deceive. He's going to show up. He's conquering the conqueror. And verse 3, now I'll tie this together here. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see.
Back in 6, right?
Yeah, chapter 6, yeah. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat there to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. There was even given unto him a great sword. So the nations, then a great battle takes place. They're going to fight one another, okay? We see it building up right now, do we not? Okay? Well, that's going to take place in Revelations. He says on the third seal, in verse 5 of that chapter, and when it opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I behold a black horse, and that he who sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil or the wine. So we go back to, it's going to cost you a day's wages for a loaf of bread. Okay? The pestilence part we're talking about in the scriptures, okay? That he talks about. The droughts, we see the droughts coming together now, right? We see some places are even planting food. We already see where a lot of our farmland being bought up by foreign people. They hate us, okay? We see we've got more and more hybrids. We see where people can be arrested today for having a... help me out here. The seed...
A heritage seed.
It's pure. It can reproduce itself, okay? Most of your seed anymore cannot do that. And so they got a lot of places you can't plant a regular seed anymore because they say it interferes with a hybrid. Again, it's all about the control. This we see it lining up today. This all is going to take place during the time of tribulation. Okay, remember, the church has already moved out of here. He says on the fourth seal, we locate that. And verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with them. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Again, the power of the Antichrist is getting greater and greater, destroying things. That is all taking place after the church is removed. The fifth seal, next, the opening of the fifth seal brings forth the cries of slain martyrs. Jesus spoke of this hour in Matthew 24:9-10. He says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. So he's talking there about those during the tribulation period who come to know Jesus Christ, they're going to be hated, okay? And some will give other ones up. If you hear Wednesday night, we shared a movie concerning that, is that in order to survive, as people will come into the new smaller churches or the house churches again, because a lot of folks, maybe some sitting here, we hear the gospel, but we never took it really to heart. We never really decided to follow Jesus. We think he's a decent dude, and we're a fan of Jesus, man. We love the miracles and stuff, but we never took him to heart. We never surrendered our life to him. We still want to do our own things. We haven't died to ourselves. Those folks will be left behind, okay? And when the seed is taking place, a lot of them at that point will come to know the Master, okay? But not all. But some will infiltrate the church because there will be a bounty on those heads at that time. You know? And so people will be turning you in. Hopefully not you guys. You're going to be in heaven, right? Okay. But the new Christians, they'll be turning them in because they get reward, they get money. Okay? And so those are the martyrs who will be beheaded. That's what he's talking about. That they will die for the faith in Jesus. But folks, I mean, if you really think about it, you are a spirit living in this body. You're a spirit occupying this body, put it that way. When your body breaks down, your spirit, heaven or hell. And for us, I mean, for the fallen of the master, it's heaven. I mean, we're out of here. You know, like today, you drove a car in the church here. You didn't bring that car in the church. You left it out there. It was designed just to get you here. But now, as a born-again Christian, your spirit occupies your body. Your body is designed now to take Jesus wherever you go, to share His love, to encourage others, get them prepared. And someday, this body is no longer needed. And the rapture, I mean, rapture takes place, there's going to be a lot of spare parts laying around, you know? That's what it's designed to. If you understand, you are a spirit and a soul and a cardinal body. And someday, you're going to be released from that. But there'll be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will be sealed at the rapture in order to witness to the Jewish folks. And halfway into the tribulation period, everything's going pretty decent now because the Antichrist raised up. He brought peace to the world. He found a way to feed people. All this kind of stuff. 3.5 years into that, he decides it's time. They got a new temple built. He's going to be in there and sit in the temple and declare himself to be Lord. And that's when it turns upside down. During this period of time, you have the two witnesses be at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. Preaching for 3.5 years. And they'll finally get tired of it and shoot them and they'll die. And the whole world will have a party. They're going to celebrate it. And then 3 days later, God raised them from the dead. And then they are removed and they take with them those who are born again to that period of time. And then it really, really gets nasty, nasty, nasty. On the sixth seal, verse 12, and behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captain and the mighty man and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountain. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and he shall be able to stand. Now, I just want to share that with you this morning to let you know that that stuff is going to take place. It's going to take place after the church is removed. When we look at Matthew 24, these are the signs of Jesus' return. They're already starting to line. I mean, they're already there. You might call it birth pains. There is not one sign to be given us for the rapture of the church. If we're looking for no. He is coming back. He is coming back like that. Coming back for a bride, as we shared Friday night, without spot or wrinkle. And remember, Jesus Christ is the iron that keeps the wrinkles out. I understand that, okay? He's the one that keeps the wrinkles out. He's coming back for those who have a heart for Him, who love Him, who worship Him, who is number one. But you're not going to be perfect. Amen? But if you have a heart for Jesus, what's that?
We'll be righteous.
We're going to be righteous. That's the key word, righteous. Right standing with Jesus. Why? Because we received Him as our Savior and Lord. You know? But that quick. It can be today, tomorrow. When we say it can be day, tomorrow, next day. Because there's no more signs. No sign for the rapture. But we see the signs of Jesus' return, right? The whole thing was, hey, Jesus, shows when you're coming back, what's it going to look like? Oh, man, there's going to be wars and rumor wars. There's going to be, man, people will hate each other. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be love of men. Brothers are going to be growing cold, all that kind of stuff. And we see it now. See how ugly it is. It's lining things up. But see, God removes His children before His wrath comes upon. He sends that wrath out of love. Understand that. God doesn't want anybody to perish. Those who are backslidden, those who have walked away from the Lord, those who aren't taking Jesus seriously, God loves them. They won't be taken in the rapture. But with this coming upon the earth, man, give them a chance to repent and truly get a hold of the Master. Yes, it comes with a great cost. But I'm telling you, it'll be worth it. So when you share the gospel with folks, when you share the word of God, you think, oh, innocent sharing with them. No, you just plant that seed. It might be during the tribulation period when it goes full forth. Because back to what we said earlier, our heart has to be, God, send workers. And he says, man, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Pray for more workers. And so that's what we do. Enter things. But that will be what will be taking place when the trumpet sounds. The Bible says the dead in Christ raised first. We look at the world the way it is today. We say, well, that's going to happen, Pastor. I'm just going to sit back, get me a camper, and go fishing and wait till the Lord come. And he's called us. He puts us here today for the very purpose of interceding and praying for others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to break bread this morning, have communion. But anybody got questions? Any questions at all pertaining to the scriptures, rapture, sin? How much sin can I carry with me and still make it to heaven? Yes. Why is this?
I mean, some people don't believe in the rapture.
And they won't go on it. Okay. Okay. Well, probably the best thing to do, I would say, you can have confusion, okay? Find someone that you trust and listen to them. Because you can hear anything you want to out there on the computer land. Yep. People will tell you.
I read that. Sometimes I don't understand that, and I look it up on the computer.
Mm-hmm. That is one great thing. We call it Bible study.
Yeah.
We have churches that have Bible study. We come together and we look at scriptures and break it down and try to learn from that. But like right now, when most people don't understand it, look at Revelation, says, I don't believe in the rapture. I mean, that's up to them. He's coming for those who are longing, waiting for him, okay? Because he wants us to be busy about his kingdom. But when you look at the scriptures and you read the first three chapters of Revelation, go to Revelation 4.1, read the next two chapters, what's taking place in heaven. From 6 to 18 is what's going to take place upon the earth. 19, we're coming back. I mean, some people get confused because they say, well, we're going to get raptured mid-trip. 3.5 years, and we'll be gone. And that is the second rapture, if I can say it that way. Again, when the witnesses at the Wailing Wall, and we believe it's Enoch and... help me out. They never died before.
Elijah
and Enoch, it might be those two, we're not sure, okay? Because God says once to die once and then comes judgment, okay? And they were taken, okay? But when they're there for 3.5 years witnessing, preaching, and finally they kill them, and when it says they rise up again and take them to heavenly, that's where he takes the Jews and those who are born again during that period of time. And some people get that confused as, well, no, we're going through 3.5 years of tribulation. But no, the church, his children, are removed before the wrath come. I mean, if half of you guys are my kids and the other half were attacking my kids, would I beat my kids along with you guys? No, I wouldn't, okay? I mean, God the same way, okay? So, yeah, you have to... As a born-again Christian, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and if we listen to that Spirit, it'll tell us, wait, that teaching don't seem right. And we investigate. And some things we learn, we think, I don't understand that, and we start looking into it, and next thing you know, we get understanding. Anytime you read the Scriptures, pray, say, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to me in these Scriptures, show me what your intent was, because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. It used different men and women over a 1500 period time, but you have the author living inside of you as a born-again Christian who wrote that. And God says, listen, you know, draw closer to me, I'll draw closer to you, resist the devil, and cling to me. He says, when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. And then, of course, Satan will try to make things more confusing for you. You might sit down and read the Bible, and you keep getting interfered, you know. But when you search for him, when he is like, okay, he's greater than Andy Griffith. He's more important to me than Dancing with the Stars. He's greater than the Olympics. This is my time with him. So, I mean, that's what we need to do. But yeah, I know. Just, you know, again, you can listen to anybody, but the truth is in the Scriptures. If it's not found in the Bible, and it has something really to do with your salvation. I mean, there's a lot of false teachings out there. A lot of churches have a lot of things that sometimes you pay money for people. You can do this, you can do that. Anybody else? Question? There's no dumb questions. Something that I wish I knew. Any questions back here or any comments? Okay. Well, we're going to break bread this morning. Have communion. And when Jesus did this, he wanted us to do this to remind ourselves that he already died for your sins. He already paid that debt. Paid for. The wages of our sins is death, and Jesus went to the cross. He died. Paid the debt, was buried with him, and raised back up again. And he wants us to remember that. Now, I think it's really be encouraging when something happens and you mess up, you sin. All right, wait. Okay, thank you, Jesus. You already paid the debt. You paid the debt. Remember that. And don't let Satan get into your head and start telling you, well, you can't live this Christian life. You're a failure. Or how about this one? Are you going to try it again, are you? Did they ever get in your head with that one? Yeah. Oh, you're going back to church again, are you? They don't want you back here. Doesn't he get in your head? That's a lie, ain't he? I'm Bonnie. That's a lie, because he's a father of lies. When that stuff comes against you, remember, Jesus died for us. He died, purposely died for you and me. He paid the ultimate price for us. Awesome price. And he wants to see us succeed. He wants to hear our innermost thought. He wants to see our hearts. He wants us to pour out to him. He wants to lay it all to him and trust in him. Have faith in him. Because mighty things that he'll do through the body of Christ. But never forget, the number one reason God created us was to be in fellowship with him. He wants to hear you. He said, well, I don't know. I'm getting tired of whining to him. He's probably tired of hearing me. No, he's not tired of hearing you. No, he wants to hear that. He wants to help you. Do you ever see how awesome it is? You ever try to talk things out? Works out pretty good, doesn't it? I think it is when you talk to God. You might start off yelling at God. Why, God, I'm telling you what. I'll tell you, mate. And next thing you know, oh, thank you, God. I got understanding now. He's a big God. You can get mad at him. Pour your heart out to him, but make sure you give him a chance to talk back to you. Amen.